We are doing Summer in the Psalms again. Each week throughout the summer, I'll be preaching on one of the Psalms, and then as part of the worship every week, we will be singing the Psalm together, or a portion of it. So I'm going to, in a moment, I'm going to read a selection from the 119th Psalm, which is the longest psalm in the Bible. And it is, Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God and how precious the Word of God is and how powerful and transformative the Word of God is. And it instructs us to open our hearts, open our minds to receive the Word of God. Now, Bob just read from John's Gospel the good news that the Word became flesh and lived among us. Jesus, full of grace and truth. Jesus, throughout his ministry, honored the Word of God and taught his disciples to honor the Word of God and to receive it, to receive the Bible as such. I'm just going to read a short portion of the 119th Psalm. This is right from the middle, verses 105 to 112. And then Jeff and the singing crew here is going to lead us in singing a rendering of these words. Hear now the word of God. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offering of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. The word of the Lord. Let's stand together.
Your portion on this is a printed in the bulletin, simple refrain to the words of the psalm.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Sing it again.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I've made my choice to obey your decrees, to follow your faithful law. Lord, in my affliction, bring me the life you have promised, according to your word. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I give my offerings of praise, O Lord. Accept them and teach me your ways. Though enemies threaten, though trials may come, I will never abandon your truth, Lord. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Your words are my lasting inheritance, for they are the joy of my heart. I give all my strength to follow your laws forever and to the very end.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Please be seated. Would you bow with me for prayer? Oh, before I pray, sorry. I'm going to give you a whiplash here. I was just reminded a couple of days ago, Fran Cross took a fall and broke her wrist. So I neglected to pray for her during our prayer time a minute ago. So let me just lead us in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, we do lift up Fran to you and pray healing for that wrist and relief from pain. Father, we just trust Fran into your good care. And now, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Believe it or not, when I was in seminary, I got some instruction in how to do outdoor preaching. And apparently, the only thing I remember is it's supposed to involve a lot of big arm motions. You know, Billy Graham. So, okay, now that's out of the way. And now, in all seriousness, words are powerful. We often forget that. In fact, it's a common expression to say talk is cheap. And talk actually is cheap. It's a matter of simple economics, supply and demand. There's a lot of it. Talk. But words are powerful. We see this in the Bible, and of course, especially God's words are powerful. In the beginning, God created with his word. The book of Genesis in chapter 1 tells us God said, God spoke, let there be light. And the darkness has been on the retreat ever since. And of course, we know as this side of the cross and resurrection of Jesus, that the Word became flesh and lived among us full of grace and truth. So, words are powerful, aren't they? And because we are created in the image of God, human words, even though not anywhere near as powerful as God's Word, because we are created in the image and likeness of God, our words are powerful too, for good and for ill. Words can be a great blessing. Words can be hurtful, wounding. Words can go to the heart to encourage and to build up. Words can go to the heart to break hearts. One of my favorite writers, Eugene Peterson, has said every one of us lives by a story. Every one of us live by words that were spoken by somebody else. And we like to imagine that, no, I live by my own script. I want to challenge you today. You live by words that were spoken by somebody else, for good or ill. Eugene Peterson says we are all textual persons because we live by a story that was put into us through words. Those words might have come from parents or friends or teachers or some other role model. Some people live by a script that says, you're no good. Nothing that you do will ever amount to anything. Those words were spoken into you by somebody else. And perhaps it's become a dominating script in your life. A whole bunch of people live by a script that says, try harder. You know, I really don't have this life thing together, and I know I'm kind of a train wreck, but if I just try harder, and it's never worked in the past, but never mind that, I know that next week, if I just try harder, this time, have you ever lived by that script? This time it's going to work. A lot of people live by a story, live by words that say, buy one more thing. If I just get that one more bright, shiny object and purchase it and bring it home and I'll have it, that's the secret of life. We do not make up our own scripts. The only real question is where the words that you're living by, where do they come from? Who spoke them? Are you living the truth of God's word, or are you living a lie that somebody else spoke into your life? Now, another image that the Bible has, the Bible often says we're on a journey. We're walking a path in life. And in today's Psalm, the 119th Psalm, it implies a path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You need God's word to direct you. Otherwise, you'll end up trapped in what the psalm calls the snares of the wicked. Well, I want to just focus in on some specifics in this psalm. I need something that weighs something here. Keys will do. There we go. The first portion that I want to focus in on from this psalm, we learn from this text that God's words give light. God's words give light to our path, light to our feet in a dark world. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Bible will faithfully show you the way to life at its best, the life of blessing, the life that God blesses, the life of knowing God and living in God's way. Now, sometimes we want the Bible to be something other than that. Sometimes we want the Bible to be an answer book that provides answers to every question in life, but that's not what the Bible is. The Bible is not a science book. It's not anti-science, but it's not a science book. The Bible is not a literature text. It's not a political manifesto. The Bible is the unfolding story about God's love for his rebellious creation and God's love for his creation and how God has entered into the world, revealed himself most of all through Jesus, his son. And Jesus, yikes. We knew we were going to get a little bit of wind today. The Bible is about Jesus, to put it shortly and briefly. The Bible is God, is the story of God's unfolding love given in Jesus Christ to his rebellious world. And it gives enough information for us to know Jesus and trust Jesus and follow Jesus. It does not answer every question we may have about life. Notice that it says, your word is a lamp to my feet. I know that you've all been, let's say you're out in the woods at night in the mountains and you have a flashlight. And your flashlight doesn't give you enough light to see everything that's going on in the forest all around you. You probably actually don't want to see everything that's going on in the forest all around you. But your flashlight gives you enough light to see the next step, right? And to follow the path. That's the Bible. It doesn't illuminate everything in the world, every question that you might have. There's still darkness in this world. There's still things that we don't know, and we're not going to know, that God didn't intend for us to know. But the Bible gives us enough light to see the path that leads to Jesus and life in him. When I was a youngster, growing up in church, and I did have the blessing of growing up in a Christian family and growing up in a faithful, Christ-honoring Sunday school, it was drummed into me over and over and over again, read your Bible, right? In fact, we learned a little song. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Did you all learn that song? Oh, you had a deprived childhood. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, 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 and you'll grow, 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 and you'll grow, grow, grow. Read your Bible, pray every day. You know what? I learned that song when I was about 5 years old. It's still true. It hasn't been improved on. Read it every day. If you aren't refreshed in God's word every day, other words will enter in and displace God's words. And whether those words come over media or on social media, over the radio, what are you guided by? We are bombarded with words every day. Read your Bible every morning. You know, I was tempted to say, as I was preparing this message, I thought about saying that the Bible, it needs something heavier. This will just have to do. Aha, there we go. Thank you. I thought very seriously about saying that the Bible is like GPS. And then it occurred to me the Bible is nothing like GPS. And here's why. GPS is wonderful, by the way. I love it. And you can follow it, you know, turn by turn, that pleasant. I call her Fiona. In our family, we call her Fiona. And that pleasant voice, you know, she'll just guide you turn by turn until you get to your destination. And guess what? If you follow GPS, you will get to your destination, and you will have no idea where you are. And if Fiona's battery dies, you are toast. Because following turn-by-turn directions, No, the Bible's more like a map. You know, a map requires a little bit of work. You have to study it, right? When you pull out a map, you have to get oriented for your direction. You have to study it. You have to look at the street names. And when you do that, you know where you're going. And you know where you're going in relation to other places in town, right? The Bible is much more like a map than like a GPS. It's not, the Bible's not just going to feed stuff into your ear. The Bible requires effort. It requires work. It requires study. You know, every year I have momentary despair. Right around, well, it comes somewhere in the middle of November when I start to think about December preaching, and I'm doing my planning ahead for my preaching, and I look ahead, and there's Christmas just looming like a big old lit up thing on the calendar. And you know what I think every year? I go through moments of despair. Do you know what I think every year? I think I've been preaching to these people, for some of them, for 30 years. There are only 4 chapters in the Bible that talk about the birth of Jesus. And I've preached on every verse. How am I going to say something engaging? I've used it all up, right? And then I start to study it and apply myself to those words. And oh my, light just begins to come out that I had never seen before. Right? That's the way God's word is. Study it. Even the parts that you think you know really, really well. Study it. It takes effort. It takes work. And it's worth it. Oh, and by the way, one of the really sad things that has happened in today's church is that all too often, serious Bible study has been left to the experts. The so-called experts, like me. Don't leave serious Bible study to the experts. There are none. You become a student of the Word of God. You apply yourself to learning it. Back in the Reformation, or prior to the Reformation in the 16th century, the Roman Church taught its people, Don't you try to study the Bible. Don't you try to read the Bible on your own, because it's too complicated. You'll never understand it. And part of the power, the spiritual power of the Reformation was putting the Bible in the hands of common people in their own language to study for themselves, to read for themselves. And guess what, dear brothers and sisters, and I all too often, the Protestant churches have lapsed back into a pre-Reformation attitude that says the Bible has to be left to the experts. And you can't understand it. Bunk. There's a word that theologians use to describe the Bible. They talk about the perspicuity of the Bible. You know what that means? It's understandable. It makes sense. And there's parts you're not going to understand. There's parts I don't understand. But the central message of God's Word is available to anybody who's willing to put in the effort to study. And I really recommend that you have 2 resources. By the way, this sermon is going a lot longer. We're going to have to cut out point 3. But, yes. That, you know, that's so true. Thank you. We will have point three, Janet. You have to have 3 points. Okay. Where was I? Oh, two. Two resources that you should have for serious Bible. Actually, no, I'm going to say three. A good study Bible. Get the ESV study Bible, the NIV study Bible, the Life Application study Bible. There are lots of good ones out there. If you want a recommendation, I'll give you one. Get a good study Bible. Then get a one-volume Bible dictionary. A one-volume Bible dictionary. The New Bible Dictionary by University Press. I really recommend. It's one volume. It's about that thick. Any word you come to in the Bible, you scratch in your head, or a name, who is this person, you can look it up in your one volume. You don't need to get one of those five-volume sets, doorstopper things. Just get a one-volume Bible dictionary. And third, a good concordance. Most Bibles have a concordance in the back. And a concordance simply means a listing of words. So you find a word in the Bible, you want to study it. Let's say you want to study forgiveness. You can look in the concordance and it will give you a dozen or 15 places where the word forgiveness is used. And so you can see different places in God's word that talk about forgiveness. So, God's word shines light. That was point one. Oops. Why? The second, and I'm just going to be brief about this one, the second message that I want to take out of this psalm is that God's word gives life. Verse 107 says, I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Every one of us has been afflicted by sin that separated us from God. God's word gives life. Why? Because God's word leads us to Jesus. That's the whole purpose of the Bible. Some people will talk about the Bible, an image you might have heard. It's an owner's manual for life. That's only secondarily true. The first purpose of the Bible is to lead you to Jesus, to find life in Him, forgiveness of your sin, to have that burden lifted off of you, to know why you're alive, to know that God loves you through the gift of His Son, to know that Christ will indwell you by His Holy Spirit, and you'll walk with Him through life. That's the number one purpose of the Bible. And third, the Bible leads us to a commitment. Verse 112 out of the text that I read, the psalmist says, I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. You follow that? That's implying a choice. It's implying a decision. I incline my heart to perform your statutes, your laws, to obey you, in other words. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. That's implying a choice. I incline my heart. When you come to Christ in faith, God gives you a new heart and a new freedom. Jesus said, if the Son shall make you free, this is in John's Gospel, if the Son makes you free, S-O-N, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I incline my heart I make a decision. God, I'm going to incline my heart toward you. I'm going to incline my heart toward your way. And you know what, dear brothers and sisters, that means that means when I get off of the path of life, which we all do and we all will, I can't blame my upbringing, I can't blame my parents, I can't blame you, can't blame my family. It's just me. God, forgive me, show me the path of life again. Now, you have the power. What that implies, I incline my heart. That means you have the power to say yes to God's way and say no to that which is not God's way. And every day we need to be able to say no. You know, I got a kick many years ago, and we are almost done here. We're going to get, and lunch is going to be waiting for us over there. But many years ago, and I know some of you are familiar with a famous columnist, Washington Post, named George F. Will. And years ago, he and his wife had an infant daughter, who I'm sure is a grown adult now. But George Will was writing about his little daughter, the first word that she learned to speak. And by the way, I'm talking about this because it's Father's Day, and I forgot to pray for dads earlier. But anyway, happy Father's Day to all the dads. Anyway, George Will said that his little daughter, when she was a toddler and she was first learning to speak, the very first word she learned to say, no. And he said, as a dad, he was very pleased with that. He said, that word is going to hold her in good stead in about 15, 16 years. And you know what, brothers and sisters, that's still a good word to be when false words come to mind. That maybe that old word that says you're no good, or it may be a word tempting us to leave the path of righteousness that God has put in front of us. We say no. We are not a slave to our hormones. We are not a slave to our genetics. We're not a slave to the past. We are not slaves to pleasing others. No means you don't have to take the wrong path. But God also gives us the power. I incline my heart toward you to say yes to the way that God's word is put in front of us. God the Father has given you the precious gift of life. God sent his Son to give that gift back to you when you squandered it. So how will you use that life? How will you make wise choices? Read God's book. Take it to heart. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in this dark world, you sent your Son, Jesus, to be the light of the world. And you've brought us to that light and placed that light inside of us. And you've given us your written word, your Bible. I pray, oh God, give us a hunger for your word, to be students of your word every day, to read it, read, learn, mark, inwardly digest, so that we will be shaped to be your people. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.